Yes, we are live. Fantastic. Oh, guys, I'm very excited. Brian, if you excuse me for 1 minute, I'm just going to speak a few words in Portuguese. I promise that it'll be nice words. Just for people that we don't speak a proper English, they understand us what's going to happen here.
Minhas espanholas, pequito, não está bem.
All right, maybe we're going to learn some Portuguese words here with me today, yeah. Ok, galerinha, é o seguinte, ó, nós estamos aqui num podcast extraordinário com o Brian McGarren, que é co-founder do INE, uma das empresas que inspiram tanto a HackOne, a gente ser esse centro de treinamentos aqui no Brasil. E vai ser uma conversa em inglês, mas eu espero que cada um de vocês aproveitem, cara, testa seu inglês também e aproveita para poder ser inspirado por pessoas que estão escrevendo história ao redor do mundo. Eu vou tocar o barco aqui, depois a gente libera uma legenda para todos vocês. Okay, Brian, I think now everyone knows what is going to happen here today.
All right, great.
I'm very excited, man, to have this chance to speak with you.
Well, Lucas, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure, sir.
Oh, fantastic. Honestly.
And I'm sorry. I meant my Espanol is no está bien, but my Portuguese is even worse. So.
It's even worse, right? Okay. Even though it's very similar, we say they're Brazilians. We can speak a kind of a Portuñol, which is still a Portuguese, but with a Spanish accent, you know. That's it. Oh, okay. So I was just, for the guys that are watching us, I met Brian like 1 minute before we go live, because we tried to do this podcast last week or 1 week ago, and unfortunately you had some family health issues with your kid. I hope he's doing fine. You know, COVID is a serious thing.
Thank you, appreciate it. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Everything is going around this season. I know.
And it's getting cold right there, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, in Chicago, it's not cold right now, but we did have a minus 20 day this year, so it gets quite cold where I am at. Yeah.
Well, for Brazilians, it's extremely cold, you know.
Oh, for sure.
We are used with the hot weather, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, Brian, I'm really excited because you know you came. Straight up to the challenge to have this conversation, discussion, because I have a long history with INE. Actually, when I took my CCIE in 2014, I was watching your videos in your CCIE track for, I don't know, man, 6 or 8 months,
my voice is just stuck in your head over and over.
It is stuck in my head, man. And seriously, it's very funny right now when I hear you, because I can recall everything that was during that journey.
Right.
And you know, and INE has been a very enthusiastic for me in terms of not only learning, but also when we create the HackOne, which is our company that has the same purpose of INE, but doing this in Brazil or ever Portuguese speaking countries, because we do the classes in Portuguese with a great partnerships with a very large companies like NTT, BT, you know, but doing this in Brazil. And I was really excited for this podcast. I'm still just to understand more about your background, you know, how you found INE, you know, and have a great discussion about this. So if you don't mind, can you just give a quick start, introduce yourself for people that don't know Brian.
Yeah, for sure. So my name is Brian McGann. I'm a CCIE in four different disciplines, which is routing and switching. They now call that enterprise infrastructure, security, service provider, and data center. And then I'm also a Cisco certified design expert at CCDE. I've been doing this for a little bit longer than I thought I would be. It's been
we all do, man.
I know. So I got my actually. Let me show you guys. This is kind of neat. I don't know if you'll be able to see this on the camera. Let me.
Jesus, old school, man.
It's my 20th anniversary CCI coin.
Yeah.
So I got my CCI over 20 years ago in routing and switching, and then I got into training. So I worked for a local company in Chicago for a while called Cisco Expert back in the day. This was way, way, way long ago. And then I co-founded a company called Internetwork Expert, which we're now INE. And basically what our thing was is that and this was, you have to remember, this was before the internet. Like, this was before Google.
Definitely.
This was before,
yeah.
So there was no way to have an interaction like you and I are having right now live on the internet.
Sure.
That wasn't an option. So what we would do is we would travel around mostly the U.S. To different cities and deliver classes about
face-to-face trainings
and stuff like that. So it wasn't until, you know, maybe 5 or more years into the business that the internet itself even became capable of doing voice over IP first, and then ultimately video, and then screen sharing and stuff like that. So we had all sorts of legacy online training platforms that we went through doing live online training. And it's kind of funny. One of the big things that gets me about my industry, and I will never forget this, is that when I hear feedback, and especially when it was early in my career, and I got feedback from customers that they would say, "Hey, Brian, I'm the first CCIE in Vietnam."
Wow.
Like, I'm the one guy.
I'm number one. Yeah.
I'm number one. So, or, and like, it would be, in the way that the internet was able to connect us together, and same as, you know, West Africa and South Africa and Asia and, you know, Europe, exactly. Of course, and South America as well. But it wasn't at the point where people really knew that you could connect everyone together like that. Do you know what I mean?
Definitely.
And my goal of this, my whole thing about networking is that we need better communication globally.
Sure.
So for us to get, I mean, how many problems are there in the world right now, right? That could be solved if we were all on the same page, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and I totally agree with what you're saying, because, you know, I'm very enthusiastic for networking as well. And I have been working this sector for 14 years. Mm. And I thought that I was going to be there for, like, I don't know, 5 or 7 years, no more. then...
it's the constant hamster wheel, right? It goes and goes,
like,
and goes.
The hamster wheel, man.
Yeah.
But, you know, I know I got so many questions, man. I put I have a file here.
Bring them on.
And the first one is that I want to start on. Like, did you co-found INE after you got your first CCIE, or that was
before
that?
So the original. So let me take a step back, and I really need to find this in the Internet Archive somewhere, or go to the library and find a microfiche. Do you remember what that is? Like a physical film.
Before
like the papers were digitalized,
yeah.
I saw a job ad in the Chicago Computer User Magazine that said, "Come to our school and learn CCIE, and we'll hire you for $120,000 at our consulting company."
Wow.
So I'm in, man.
I see myself in this story already.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm 19 and 20 years old, and I see this ad. I'm like, all right, I'm in. I don't have any other app. And then I was always into computers.
Yeah.
I mean, in high school, I ran the dial-up BBS for the high school. And I'm telling you, this was before the internet. There was no Google. There was no, eBay to buy equipment and stuff like that. So
sure.
I started on dial-up networking. We had a LAN set up in our high school network that we used to play Warcraft 2, and we used to play the original version of Doom together. And that's how I learned networking. I learned Novell IPX, which if anybody remembers the original version of Doom multiplayer, did not run on TCP/IP. It ran on IPX.
You're about to reveal your age, man.
Exactly. Yeah. There was another protocol before IP. Yes. So I saw this job ad. So I went to the University of Illinois for just one semester for computer science. And I wasn't really into, I thought I was going to be into programming, and I didn't really get into programming. So I wanted to look for another avenue, and I was really always interested in you know, networking. So I went to this school, and I went and got CCNA and CCNP and ultimately CCIE with them. And then afterwards, and I was there, luckily I was living at home, you know, 19 years old with my parents. studying full time instead of going to college, because I left university to do the CCI training. The CCNA.
Okay. But when you start in this company, then you didn't have even your CCNA, or you start the whole.
Well, no, this was still when I was learning. Okay. So after I got my CCIE, I started working with the same trainers that were training me at the time.
Okay, so when you start in this company for the microfiche advertisement, you start the whole track to reach your CCIE, or you already were CCNA or CCNE?
No, I had MC. I went to the community college and did some Microsoft and Novell courses. Okay. So I learned IP actually from Microsoft NT 4.0.
Okay.
So it's been a minute. So it was actually at the point where we were trying to debate who's going to win, Novell IPX or Microsoft IP. And no one even knows what Novell even means anymore.
Generation X and
exactly,
and,
exactly, yeah, no. exactly, exactly. Yeah. So fast forward, I ended up getting my CCIE, and then I ended up working with my same instructors for a while. Okay. And then there was a study list online, a mailing list, which was dedicated to CCIE studies. It was called groupstudy.com. It was the mailing list on the internet at the time. This was before forums and other ways to interact with each other real time.
Very beginning of internet, I guess.
Very beginning of internet. Yeah. So you would just send an email out and it would go to the list and then people would email you back. So there was no way to like chat live, interact live like we were. So I had met my business partner of INE, Brian Dennis there, talking about technologies and helping students out and stuff like that. So he at the time was working for Global Knowledge, which I'm sure you've probably heard of them before, right? They're the large Cisco official training partner, whatever.
Yeah, sure.
So he wrote the original CCIE program for Global Knowledge in like 1997-98, so very, 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 very early. His CCIE number was 2210. 2210, and they started at 1024, so he was within the first 1,000 people. and so like nobody even knew what like a router was like when he was doing this stuff. Yeah, so he was ancient by the time I even met him, but. So we decided the big thing that we wanted to do was to write a workbook. And I was very lucky at the time where he had equipment that he would use to teach these classes on. And that was the big thing. If you didn't have access to the equipment, you're done, because there were no simulators like GNS3 or EVNG or anything at the time.
You had to have a physical
router. I remember the first router that I bought was a Cisco 2514 router. It had two Ethernet ports. It cost it was $2,500.
And I thought this one was old stuff. Let me show you.
Yes.
And I thought this one was old stuff, man.
Oh, that's way new. No.
That's brand new ones, right?
No. Okay. The big thing was that we wanted to write like a book.
Okay.
About CCIE. But the publishing industry is hard to break into, like the official publishing industry.
Like CISO Express or something?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or like to go to, because there was no Amazon.com at the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. There were no Barnes and Nobles. It was just local bookstores. So we decided to effectively self-publish. And so we would have a team of people that were printing out the books and binding them and printing the diagrams and laminating them and then shipping them out. And it would come in like a 20-pound box, like a full ream of paper that would be these documents that you would use at the time to study for the exam.
Sure.
Like this was before PDFs. Like, yeah. Like we couldn't even print it to PDF and email it to you. Like that all wasn't right. a thing at the time.
Kindle, ebooks, no way.
So, right. So from there, you know, then like I said, the internet started to get more connected, and we started to be able to deliver online training, and then you know, kind of our reach went from there. And then it kind of exploded that we became kind of the go-to people for CCIE training in the, you know, late 2000s. So,
but that time that you were deciding to join the experts that are training you for your CCIE, that wasn't INE yet. So you were
it wasn't INE yet. So unfortunately, they had a difference of opinion with me. They thought that if we were to write a book about it, that we would ruin the industry. That there would be no more live training.
For people joining you in the class if they're
exactly,
writing everything.
Exactly.
The book.
They're like, why would you fly in here to Chicago if you already had the book? Uh-huh. This is the same thing. Exactly. So we bet against that and mm-hmm. and won. Fortunately. So the workbook was popular, and I mean, for years and years that was our most popular product, the workbook. And then we had physical equipment, and this was the big thing, is that we had all the physical equipment, luckily, because my business partner had put a huge capital investment into this, and he already had it hosted at a data center at the time. So we were able to travel around and teach the classes without having to move the equipment. Fantastic. And that was the big issue. So Global Knowledge at the time, they would physically ship all of their routers and switches to every CCNA, CCNP class that they had. It was a nightmare in terms of logistics.
Cost basis as well, right?
The cost was very, very high. So what that allowed us to do was to cut all the costs, and then able to offer rack rental access to the customers. So you could, you know, pay us and then use, like, borrow the equipment for
for
a couple hours or a day, week, whatever. And it kind of became this self-fulfilling cycle where the demand was so high for the equipment that we were able to grow the equipment out, and we weren't really trying to make money on it. We were trying to break even on our space, our power and cooling, and the support costs, like the engineers, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But so it grew to the point where we were able to offer a lot of specialized physical hardware equipment that other people couldn't offer. So like at the time, like, for example, CCI service provider introduced the iOS XR platform when they went to the from the 7206 VXR, which was the mainstay of Cisco Edge for years and years and years. Yeah. And then they went to the 12,000 series routers, which ran a different OS. There was no way to virtualize this OS. So we literally bought shelves of 12,008 gigabit switch routers, you know, off of, well, luckily eBay did exist at the time. So we were able to get those, you know, get those secondary, and then, and that's how it helped us, you know, build out the content, you know, based on that.
That's fantastic, man. You know, like this inspired me so much. It's like, I was telling my team, like, okay, if I don't do this a podcast, but if I just get a call, for me, it's awesome, man. Because we definitely get a very inspired, you know, about this history of INE. Knowledge and share, or sharing knowledge, it's a great thing, because as you mentioned,
let me interrupt you there. So I'm an original hacker. I'm an original hacker from the 90s. There was only one manifesto we had. Free information. That's all it was. Free information. That's all it was about.
Free information.
That's my whole job, is I want to give people information.
Exactly. And that's has the power to change the whole world, you know.
Exactly.
I came from a history, a really poor background, original Brazilian third world country history. And I discovered networking when I was 18, because I had a friend that he was already CCIE, and he told me there was a way to get very well paid if I got that track of certification. I didn't have a clue what a CCIE was, what a CCNA was, but you know, I was really looking forward for an opportunity. And when you see that, if you really put your own effort, if you dedicate yourself, everyone can do this, you know, like, because it's just a matter
That's
of
the thing, Lucas,
recognition, right?
It is about perseverance. You don't have to be an Einstein to do computer networking.
That's, you know, it.
We like to joke that we're like high tech plumbers. Like the internet gets clogged, you get in there with the you know, the plunger, and you plunge it out. But the thing is, exactly. Perseverance. If you are willing to work at it, and especially, you have to enjoy it though, because sure. if you don't enjoy the technology and you know what it's about, it's hard to constantly stay on that hamster wheel over and over and over. But my thing is, I love it. I love it. I can't wait to see what 20 years from now is going to look like.
Oh yeah.
Definitely. You know, I'm hoping that we don't blow ourselves up, because, you know,
it's scary, isn't it?
I know, but I mean, looking at 20 years ago versus today, it's out of control.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
And like you said, that I've had so many customers from different portions of the world tell me your same exact story, that, you know, I didn't think I had any options. I found out about this. I looked into it. I started to love it. I followed it. And now yeah. I'm the first CCI in Vietnam. You know what I mean? And that means something to me.
Definitely.
That's my gig, is I want to help people have information and help themselves to better themselves.
Yeah, I used to say that this kind of masses and feedbacks, you know, like in HackOne today, we got 6,000 students. We came out of the blue, starting our business in middle 2019, and growing very fast in Brazil, because, you know, like looking the number of people that speak English, Portuguese around the globe, it's a very minor number comparing with English, I would say. And for us, we really have this effort to deliver the message and give the opportunity for those that doesn't understand the English very properly.
And I think that's a great idea, because we've worked on localization before, but it's not at the scale that it really should be. You said, I mean, all this information should be translated into people's native languages and delivered by native speakers. I mean, I wish I spoke every language, you know what I mean? Yeah. I wish you know, that I could come to you know, to you and deliver a class for you in Portuguese, but
sure.
Unfortunately I can't. But you know, I think that's really a good way of progress, and I really you know,
and you guys should be very proud of yourself. Because you guys really inspire people to do that in their own country or in their own language, you know. So you should definitely be proud of yourself. But tell me, how to achieve for CCIE, man? What is that like? Are you married? You got kids? How to handle?
I'm old now. Yeah, I'm married. I have three kids. I have a teenager. I have a 13-year-old. He's the bane of my number one love and the bane of my existence, right? He's my arch enemy and my best friend. Then 10-year-old daughter, and then I have my little guy is 7. You know, I've just been doing this for so long. It's the slow progression of how the technology's evolved. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't set out at the beginning of when I got my CCI, I thought it was over. Like, I thought, like, that was done. Like, I was at the pinnacle. Like, now, like, it's gonna be the money is gonna come raining on you. You know what I mean?
Show me the money, bitch.
Exactly. Yeah. But it turns out that that's really, like, almost just the start. It's like, the more you learn, the more you realize you don't know.
You don't know anything.
Like, exactly. I don't know anything. I mean, I know so much. I know this much out of, you know, infinite. But but it was kind of the natural progression as we developed as a training company, I would say. So originally we delivered just routing and switching because that was pretty much the only track that anyone was interested in. But as customers started to request things like, when I took the CCI security exam, it was the CCI routing and switching exam plus one PIX firewall.
Are you joking?
A PIX 501 firewall. That was the only, and I failed, which was even worse. But all now right. It's like, now the platforms are so diverse and, everything is so specialized. It was just kind of natural that, I fell into the other specializations along the way. So I know that, the meat and potatoes of them, but, if you told me to configure an FTD firewall right now, if you put a gun to my head and say, configure this firewall or else, like, I don't know. It's
okay, I do it, yeah. All right. Definitely this our career, it make us progress in a way that you have to learn different technology. I always say that we have to be specialized in one target to be specialized in one track, but also have generalist knowledge in multiple tracks, because it's impossible. You work as a network engineer and have only be only facing networking issues without security or without data center or without cloud. And how do you see these four CCIEs coming together to help you during your consulting business or training business, daily work, and how do you see everything together?
Well, I would say for the near future, and the next, I would say, at least maybe 4 to 6 years, the focus should be on hybrid cloud, which basically means that you have some services that are running in your own data center. You have some of your own routers. You have some of your own switches, firewalls, whatever. But then at the same time, there's no company out there that's not using cloud for something.
Sure.
So there's got to be some sort of interconnection between whether it's Amazon AWS or Microsoft Azure. And then the issue is how do you engineer these interconnections between the clouds themselves and between the clouds and the physical network? It's not self-explanatory. It's a complicated job.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of just core networking understanding that comes into it in terms of routing and switching. But then, like you said, you need to know server virtualization and networking. How does, VMware virtual networking work, or Hyper-V, or how does Amazon's VPCs, virtual private clouds, work? And how do we establish tunnels, VPN tunnels to route BGP over? And the more you learn, you see the more how everything is interconnected.
Sure.
And that you can still be a specialist in a certain area. Like, let's say you want to be a specialist in security. That's great. But you still need to understand, when a packet comes in, what is my firewall going to do? Like, what is its decision process based on routing or switching or those type of processes? And what I've been seeing in the industry lately is kind of an issue with people that are coming from the reverse side of the industry. So they come from sysad, they come from DevOps or net, whatever you want to call sysadmin, and they're in the cloud. And now they're trying to learn, how does the networking stack work? It's much more difficult for them.
It's way harder.
Way harder, way harder. So for us as network engineers who know how to plug in a switch and plug in a router, you now realize, okay, well, now that's just a virtual machine and in XYZ data center, it doesn't matter where.
Indeed,
we still understand the same logic of those principles. And that's really the key. It's the same principles that we've been using in networking for the past 20 plus years. They're just now applied in different ways. Cisco ACI, for example, it's a fancy GRE tunnel. It's a band-aid on top of a band-aid, right? Everything if you add more tunnels on top of it, then you solve the problem. So it's like I said, though, from the cloud point of view, you would be doing yourself a disservice trying to learn that stuff and then come backwards. But like you said, like as a network engineer, now is the time to diversify out to those other horizontals. So, you know, if you want to do security, that's great. You could do security, but you have to do security in AWS. You have to do security in Azure, because that's going to affect your on-prem as well. The cloud's not going away. You know what I mean? Because it's plug and play. It's even though it costs more at the end of the day, no one cares, because it's plug and play. You press the easy button and everything just works. So I think that's the big change in the paradigm that I've seen in the past 5 years or so that really is what people getting into this industry or even professionals in this industry, that's where I would recommend that they focus on. That, you know, you might be a CCMP and you understand OSPF and BGP and stuff like that, but can you take that same stuff and implement it in Amazon? There you go. So, I mean, it's the same protocols. You know, you just got to figure out how to, how the different vendors are implementing it. And that's ultimately how the network is going to be going forward, that we have more interconnections effectively, right?
Yeah, for sure. I used to say that we as network engineers, we are very lucky, especially those that started with routing switching, because it's just the base of everything. Right. Like if you want to learn cloud, if you want to learn security, and if you don't have a solid base in routing switching, you can be a good security engineer, but you're going to struggle when you have a more deep and dive discussions, facing a troubleshooting issue or facing...
Especially
troubleshooting. Yeah. Exactly. You know, and I totally agree that we are moving to these hybrid concept in the next 5 to 10 years. That's how I foresee the world in the networking era. Because it just makes a lot of sense, you know. I don't see all these services of risk services like a bank or something full in the clouds, but I see them still having a data center. But as network engineers, we still need to have the knowledge, you know, to behave with both type of technologies. Mm-hmm. And I totally agree with you. And I do believe that is one of the main reasons Cisco create a DevNet layer of certifications. Otherwise, it would be easier to hire developers and just give them trainings in networking and make sure that those guys learn networking. But networking is huge. So it's much easier to teach you Python assemble or any dev programming language and make you apply the background that you have to make things more efficient in whatever platform you are going to do, right?
Yeah. A network engineer learning automation is going to be much easier than an automation engineer learning networking.
I agree. 100%. Yeah. Okay. I think this covers very well the technology, the skills that the engineer should be looking at for the next few years. But do you see like a gap of knowledge in the network engineers nowadays? Not only in terms of the what I'm trying to say is, how can they reach in the senior level? Because when you come for the CCIE track, if you say, okay, I'm going to study for the CCIE, I don't agree that the CCIE makes you senior. If you just focus 100% in the exam, you're just going to learn, you know, a bunch of technologies. You're going to learn the low level of a lot of those technologies. But do you think there is a gap in the market or a lot of people getting certifications, but they are not filling this gap with the knowledge to become a senior engineers? And if you agree, if there is this kind of current situation going with the network engineers, how do you see that we can fulfill this gap? And is only technical knowledge we need, or how can you reach the senior level? What is necessary for that?
Yeah, I totally get that, because it's like one of those oxymorons. It's that you would want your senior engineer to be, or most senior engineers are CCIEs, but not all CCIEs are senior engineers, right?
That's it.
Yes.
That's
it. So just because you pass the exam doesn't mean that you're, you know, the senior engineer. That's not the case. So one of the things that we've been doing as we research what new content that we develop is we go on job boards and we look at keywords like network engineer or senior network engineer or, you know, whatever it is. And we look at what is the market really currently looking for. So what type of skills besides just routing and switching? Because routing and switching now is commodity. I mean, we have to give each other that. Like, there's nothing special about routing and switching anymore.
100%.
You have to understand SD-WAN. You have to understand automation. You have to understand whatever, something else. Routing and switching is not going to cut it anymore. Yeah. So what I would say is that to spend some time. So let me take a step back. If I was a mid-level engineer right now, and I was looking to figure out how do I get to that next level, I would go to my local job board or whatever region that I want to be in and search for what is the job I'm trying to get. What's my dream job, right? I want to work for Facebook doing this or whatever. I want to, you know, work for the DOD doing security. And then look at what are the realistic requirements. And then based on that, you know, search out those, you know, and most of the time they're not certifications. Certifications generally still will focus around Cisco.
Yeah.
Even the Juniper engineers that I work with, that work for Juniper, they all have CCIEs. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like the what Cisco did a really, really good job of.
You work for Coke and you drink Pepsi.
Exactly. You work for Coke and you drink Pepsi. Exactly, right? Yeah. What Cisco did a really, really good job of was developing their certifications to make you learn how the protocols work, to make you learn how networking works. So once you get a CCNA or a CCMP, you're not just trained on a product per se. You know, because the Cisco router, it's not something special anymore. Anybody can run OSPF, anybody can run BGP, but to learn the details of behind the scenes, how do those protocols work? That's when, like you said, you know, you're that security engineer and you're trying to troubleshoot like, hey, what's going on in this flow? I don't know why it's dropping. If you don't understand, you know, how routing protocols work, you don't understand how the traffic is being forwarded through the network or something like that. Sure. So it's really kind of a combination of things that that, like you said, I think now more than ever, this unfortunately, I hate to say it, this industry is getting harder and harder every day. They're expecting you to know more and more and more, and that's just the norm. There's no, you know, I mean, look, these books behind me, it may have taken me 30 years to absorb them, but everyone is expected to know all of this stuff now plus more.
I agree. I totally agree. You know, I think these give you know, the audience and the people that are gonna listen to these in Spotify later on, because it's just gonna be published in Spotify in 1 or 2 weeks. Give them a good idea where to start and how to reach the senior level, because definitely this should be what we all are looking for. And come back into INE, what is the INE mission when you see 2023, and how are you guys going to get there? What are the plans?
So our big thing has always been practical training. So like I mentioned before, our kind of edge that we had when we originally started was we had all of this physical equipment and we were able to build that out. But nowadays, the physical equipment is not really where you want to be, because there's virtual machines that can run pretty much any network operating system that we need to, whether it's Cisco or Juniper or Arista or whoever. So the big thing that we're trying to do right now is to kind of diversify our core, just not necessarily our core, because our core networking is always going to be Cisco, right? Whatever, Cisco CCNA, CCMP, CCI Enterprise. But yep. then, like you said, you have to still diversify above that, you know, for the security engineers. It's not enough that you know Cisco FTD. You need to know Palo Alto. You need to know Fortinet. You need to know Checkpoint. If you're a security engineer, that's your job. You know all of them.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a collaboration engineer, you know, you don't need to know just Cisco, how Cisco VoIP works. You need to know, you know, the other vendors as well. And it's that's kind of our big thing is for networking is kind of to expand the if you, you can think of like Cisco as like a mind map of how the technologies interconnect. It's like, who would be all the peripheral vendors that are around them or the peripheral technologies that are around them? The big thing is that we now have an automated cloud-based system for labs so that it will be kind of the same thing as we had in the past where you could log into a physical router and, you know, whatever, configure OSPF. But now it's just virtualized in the cloud. So now we don't run into any type of vertical scaling issues. So, you know, if you and I want to run the lab at the same time, it used to be the issue where, well, hey, only one person can use this physical router. Yeah. But now the cloud effectively has infinite instances that we could, you know, spin up. So it's I would say it helps in terms of the retention as you're learning, because you can't just read a book or listen to me talk about some technology. You have to put your hands on the keyboard and try it out and play around with it yourself and discover new things and see what happens. Because, you know, ultimately as an engineer, you're going to be the one on the ground deploying it, right? You can't be, you know, scrolling back to the video real quick to try to figure out what was the command that I had. But that's a big thing is that we're expanding to all of these other vendors that we're able to integrate into our cloud-based lab system, which is pretty much anybody that is relevant today, which would be, like I said, Fortinet, Palo Alto, Checkpoint, Arista, Juniper, Cisco, obviously. You know, where the core would still be Cisco to learn the fundamentals of the technologies. And then you would want to know, okay, show me how Arista implements BGP. Show me how Fortinet implements an access list, something like that.
Yeah.
Because the fundamentals are still the same between all of the vendors. They're interoperating all the protocols, but you still have different user interfaces on them that you need to interact with.
All right. Well, I see that you guys still got a lot of it means what I'm trying to mean is that when we write down our plans for the coming financial year or etc., do our design sprint, it seems like you're already in the top of the hill. And then when you reach the top of the hill, you just see there is a huge mountain that you
can behind climb. Us.
Yeah, exactly.
The hill like, was oh blocking God. The view of the mountain.
Behind blocking the view of the mountain, you know. So everything that you were saying, I was like, whoa, I got so much to do, man. All yeah. right. Fantastic. And what is your INE plans for Brazil or localization or Latin America? Let's say Brazil because HackingOne is in Brazil.
You know, I would love, Lucas, for us to talk more about this offline, but I know we do have some localization in terms of closed captioning, but I don't think we have much localizations in terms of audio. And okay. that was one of the things that I always wanted to look into, especially like the CCNA level where, yeah. you know, that I think that should be localized. And then, once you start to get further into the industry, because, you know, unfortunately we know that the de facto internet language is English. You know, I didn't decide it, sure. but it is what it is.
You were just born there.
I was just born there. And I'm a victim of circumstance.
That's it. Yeah. Man. Okay. That's yeah. great. You know, I would love definitely, you know, like when you're speaking about the lab, we do have a lab environment as well for HackingOne, which is, you know, it is inspired in I&E, but you know, the inspired and then the deliverable, they got a huge difference.
Exactly. We have a huge automation team in India that is supporting our lab team.
Yeah, I do believe. Yeah,
it's not a small problem to solve.
And not as simple as it looks like. I totally agree, because I tried to beautify it to myself, and I saw, well, that was the hill already blocking the view of the mountain, I guess.
Well, you see, the customer presses the easy button, and then behind the scenes, they don't realize all the piping that's going on to actually make something complete.
The 200 guys working to put the cables together.
Exactly, and yes. Happen, right?
I agree. Okay, I can't mention that I'm envy your plagues, because I was so proud of mine here in the back. And when I was looking at your scenario, I just saw a few of them there. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, something is, my
plaques is missing here. Yeah. Oh, yeah, your plagues. Yeah. All right. Okay, we are getting on the top of our time. So going for two or three more questions before we finish. I'm just going to go back to the learning and knowledge thing, because I watched so many of her classes, you know, like, well, when I was studying for my CCIE, I was working for BT in Brazil. And in BT, they have an office that was about 150 kilometers from my house. So I was taking a transfer every morning and come back the same day. So it was like 1.5 or 2 hours. And I was
listening,
basically
in the meantime,
studying in the meantime. Sometimes sleeping, you know, because your voice just got so nice and flourish in my mind. And I was like, okay, time for the nanny. I know how deep dive you go and how you reach the low level of the when you are teaching a protocol and sharing knowledge. And I got inspired by this, because when I'm teaching classes as well, because I'm the expert in one of the towers in HackOne, because we do security, we do cloud, we do different vendors in networking. But for Cisco, I'm one of the experts. And sometimes, you know, the content, I know that I don't need to go that deep, but just make me more comfortable to share the very low level of that content, and make sure that if they know that low level, it doesn't matter if it's Cisco, Huawei, or Juniper, they will be able to implement this. And
exactly.
I want you to share in your own words, you know, how do you believe it is that important to really go in the deep the low level when you are learning something in networking?
Well, for me personally, the way that I gauge whether I really understand something is that if I can explain it to somebody else and they understand it, then I know what I'm talking about, right?
Sure.
So this is how I kind of got into teaching in the first place, is that I was studying with other students, and we would work collaboratively, and we would just have discussions on technology, and, you know, I would end up explaining things to them. And then it was kind of this, you know, self-fulfilling prophecy. And the thing is, it's like, It is tough to it like you said, it's tough to cut off where is the level of depth that you need to go into, because like I said, it's the more you learn, the more you realize you don't know, and you could go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. What I would say is that I like to offer my students the level of depth that I'm comfortable with, but then also show them other resources that are available afterwards.
All right.
So if this particular topic really catches your attention, that you can follow, you know, down the rabbit hole as far as you want to, mm-hmm. you know, to get into that.
It's infinite, right?
That's the thing. It's infinite. It's infinite in any topic. It's like BGP, I've been studying for 20 years, and more you, I know nothing about BGP. I've been studying it for 20 years, and I don't understand how it works.
Sure. Yeah. I agree.
It only has 5,000 address families, you know, and adding more, but
Yeah, that's it. No, I totally agree. Now, as you learn, it's like you are just digging a new hole, and you when you get in that hole, you just dig another one, and you realize that it is infinite for sure. Brian, I want you, man, to leave a message for those 6,000 HackingOne students they will receive this video later on, because we have some private live classes with the students, and I was speaking a couple of times that, well, we are going to have this chat, and it is planned for the beginning of the year, and I'm sure they're going to watch it later on. I didn't confirm for today with them, because I was a little tricky.
No, that's good.
To do or not. So leave a message to everyone, man.
So, Lucas, I'd like to first off thank you for having me on the stream, and for introducing me and to your customers together. And I wish my Portuguese was better, that I could say something a little bit more intimate. But, you know, I would say that if you enjoy this industry, if you can find something, a niche of the industry that you enjoy, you have to love what you do, because it is a constant learning process. And if you don't love learning, you know, if it's a chore to you to you know, to get up and read a book or read a new article or watch a video, then it, you know, maybe this is not the industry for you. But on the other hand, Lucas, I'm sure you're the same way I am. I love this stuff. I love learning. The first thing I do is check the tech news every morning on my phone, right? To see, you know, what did Elon Musk do? What are the robots doing? You know,
that's it.
But that's the thing. I mean, we're I think at the end of the day, we're all in this industry working towards the same goal. It's communication of the human race. And the more that we can get that ingrained, then maybe we can, you know, all learn some better lessons about that we're the same people, right?
Sure. We make it happen, isn't it?
We make it happen. The internet, exactly.
That's it. Okay, so now I want to teach you a Portuguese word that we always say here, you know, like we even have, when we reunite with our students, we always try to say this together. Because when we are going through stairs from the CCNA level, jump to another step to the CCNP to get to the CCIE, we say that the CCIE is the top of our career. And we say towards the top, which means rumo ao topo, towards to the top, towards to the top.
Rumo?
Rumo ao topo. Ao topo.
Rumo ao topo.
Rumo ao topo. Yeah, very good. So you can say, HackOne students, rumo ao topo.
HackOne students, rumo ao topo.
That's it, man.
Is it?
Well done.
Lucas, thank you, brother. I really appreciate you having me on. This is a great time, man.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I'll just connect with Dana. Just say goodbye to you offline. So guys, thank you very much for watching this. And I appreciate we see you in the Spotify podcast in probably 2 weeks. But enjoy, and thank for everyone that could participate with us live today. Thank you, Brian. It was awesome,
thank
man.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.